Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, everybody. And this is a story to get into the time capsule of the podcast. My guest today is Sarah Teo. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Kathy. Thanks.
Oh, so excited to kind of get the nuts and bolts on your amazing story. So speech pathologist, Brisbane, look yes. Who's talking.
Yes, yes.
What do we need to know about the business? What do we need to know?
What do we need to know? Well, it's been long-standing in the Redlands, so we're out Bayside. The lady that owned it beforehand had been running it for 17 years before I took over. So, in fact, it was our 20th year this year of Look Who's Talking going. So I've had it for 3 years. I worked for a number of years beforehand for the previous owner and now I'm running it.
20 years, that's just incredible. That's pre-NDIS, obviously, pre-HACWA, Better Start, pre-Medicare almost. It is pre-Medicare. Wow.
Yeah, that's it. It's been a long time out. And particularly, I guess, you're right, before all those funding avenues and things like that. Honestly, before, was speech pathology that well known realistically?
Amazing. Oh wow! Didn't realize it was that long. So, what did the business look like 3 years ago when you signed your name on the line?
It was just speech pathology at that point. I think there was a few other speeches. We're all sort of part time. We did have some OTs that came. They were from a previous business, then came sort of under the umbrella of Look Who's Talking. So, and it was quite, when I took over, it was quite a change. I wanted, I guess, a fresh start. And the occupational therapists that I worked with, we were very good friends, and we decided pretty soon on that we should not mix business and friendship if we wanted to maintain big friends. So they started their own business and then took over Look Who's Talking. And it pretty much went down to just me.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So it was all sort of coming to an end, I guess, Look Who's Talking at that point. So and that's what I think why it was time for the previous owner to move on. At the time, I just had a one-year-old. Like, it was my third. I just had my third child. She was one. I was like, no, I'm not ready for this sort of thing.
What am I doing?
And I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Why not? She says, why not?
Yeah. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? That's right. What an opportunity. And if it all falls in a heap, it falls in a heap, and I won't die not knowing. So
open the door on the business now, December 2020.
December 2020, well, it's quite different now. We've seen the rollout of the NDIS, so that's been amazing. Look, it's a game changer. So at the moment, we've got two other full-time speechies, a part-time speech pathologist, a music therapist, a pediatric dietitian. We've had an allied health assistant, but she's just about to change. So in January, we've got five more speech pathologists joining the team.
That's not bad in 3 years.
It's not bad. Sometimes it's funny to look back and go, oh, it wasn't that long ago when it was just me running around going, we'll pay the rent, it'll be fine. So, it's crazy. It's very exciting.
Absolutely amazing. So what have you kind of learned along the way? Anything?
Oh, What have I learned? So many lessons. There's certainly lots of lessons of what not to do at times. Oh, I could have done that.
Well, better. Let's go there first. Let's go to the what not to do's. What I want to hear this list.
Yeah. Oh, I should have thought about this more. What not to do. Look, I think a pretty big lesson I learned early on is not to hire someone who doesn't fit with our team, I guess, is a big thing. And I think that's something that has, and I have sort of unconsciously done it without actually sitting back and reflecting on it. I think I have hired people who have similar values, who I like to work with, who are passionate, but not necessarily have lots of knowledge or, you know, lots of experience. But certainly, I mean, that will come. Those sorts of things will come. Mm. It's lifelong learning. I'm constantly learning. I think that's been the biggest lesson very early on. So I think my first speech pathologist, we sort of had to part ways for a number of reasons. So I think that really early on I learned that it's important to have a really great team that get on really well, and that's something that's really important to me, and that has, I think, put us in good stead from then on.
Yeah. So what you're saying is about recruiting for personality and values and mindset.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And everything else can be kind of trained and taught.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think so. And I think it's just about finding people who have similar values to us and similar sort of team values. And I think that's something we recently at our conference did a team workshop on and sort of collaboratively came up with some team values, which was such a wonderful experience to do it as a team, to put it together, because it was just so interesting getting other people's ideas of what certain words meant to them. And we just, it was 20 minutes of this conversation about what we want, look who's talking, and the team to be like. And I think for every one of us currently, that's something that's really, really important. So that's been, I guess, and that's an evolving lesson and an evolving thing, but that's a big, and that's probably been our core of what Look Who's Talking has grown. It's always been about our team.
Yeah. Listeners would have heard the words team conference, so I scribbled them down. We'll come back to them in a tick, because I saw the photos. It looked very, very cool. But back to the earlier days, did you have a phase in the business where you were the person doing all of the things?
That phase is still seems like,
oh, is that okay?
But so yeah, absolutely. In the beginning, we did have a wonderful one of the admins from, before I bought it. She came across, who is an incredible, incredible woman, and honestly taught myself so much about the behind the scenes and running the business. Like, she was invaluable and continues to be. She's a wonderful source of information and support. But early on, it was I'm the one, still the one vacuuming, still the one cleaning the glass.
Really? We should edit that out.
Just at times, not all the time, but certainly, you do it all. And that's just how it is. And I guess there's a lot of passion and a lot, in the early stages, it is your thing. We did the fit out. We organized a new fit out. We, painted. We, all those sorts of things. And I had great support from some of my OT colleagues as well. But certainly it's, you're making the new forms.
So how did that piece sort of start to change for you?
When it started, I guess when we grew enough so that we could have a bit more administration support. I've always valued administration support, and it's something I talk about a lot with the team, that they are just as important and they are such an integral part of the piece, so that we're able to do what we're good at and they're able to do what they're good at, and we just sort of come together and work together. So that's been something I've always valued it. So I've always had admin support. I've always something. Yeah. I've gone without sometimes being paid so that I could ensure that there was still that delineation of rules. And as we've gotten busier, we've been able to grow. And, you know, in January, we'll have a full-time practice manager coming on board as well as full-time admin support. So I know, I'm so excited. And
she's so excited. We're all excited for that.
We're all very excited at the office too. We're going, oh, Jen's coming. Yeah. So
yeah.
That will be a huge change for us. And so I can shift more from that sort of all those practice manager roles, all the accounts and things like that, and the day-to-day running, and shift our focus more to our sort of learning program over the next 12 months, which is a thing that we're putting together that I'm super, super passionate and excited about, that one.
Tell us more.
I will. So it's... So the idea, so what I'm wanting to do is less clinical time and more time facing with the team, because obviously our team is growing quite a bit. And it's like, okay, and I guess this year has been a bit of me stepping up and becoming that role. I think before I was always the speechy and having to see all those clients, and I might have had people working with me but not doing such a great job of being the leader of that team. We were just sort of co-workers, I guess. So this year has been a big year where that change has happened. And for me, it's been a big learning opportunity for me to go, well, what is it? Do I actually know how to do this? Where is the evidence? I'm looking for evidence. What do I do? And so we've done a number of sort of supervision courses and things like that have really, I guess, narrowed down for us. What are those different hats? You know, how do I differentiate line manager to business owner to clinical supervisor? Like how, and they're different, they're absolutely different roles. And I think for a long time I had been blurring them. Absolutely. And so to have more of an idea, a concrete evidence-based idea of, well, that's what this is what that is, and that's what that is, has kind of been the background, I guess, to what we've got planned for next year with our one of my team leaders, Anna. She's going to be on board with me doing this. So we're going to have supervision. We'll have peer learning. It's just, you know, we'll have one day a term, which is professional development. There's just, I guess, a lot more structure to our professional development, and not so much that, even personal and organisational development. I think that was a big thing that I reflected upon this year. It's about, well, how do we develop all of our clinicians as a whole, not just their clinical skills? That's really important, but what are their personal goals? What are their professional goals? What are their organizational goals? How do we put that all together so that we can create, you know, something, an organization where we're creating amazing individuals by the end of it? I guess that's been a big driving force.
Yeah. Thank you so much for saying that. I think you know my thoughts on clinical supervision. It is just such a skinny part of the awesome human wedge. And to be, playing a part in creating remarkable people with a real 360-degree view, wow, that is super meaningful. It's great for them. It's great for you. It's great for clients. Great for recruitment and retention. So exciting to hear about that structure, that infrastructure, but mostly that commitment, most importantly, that commitment from you to create, you know, coach and develop the whole person, not just the little clinical brain bit.
Yeah. And I think it's something that, I mean, we don't learn about when we go to uni. It's not something that we even sort of reflect on as clinicians. So I think stepping into that, into this leadership role, and it's that type, you know, reflecting upon it and going, well, actually, what should I be doing? What more can I be offering? And that makes me really excited. That's what I'm really, I guess that's where I'm really passionate about.
And
so excited for that next year. I can't wait to see, and to see how it evolves and develops.
Yeah.
You know, team feedback and what's working, what's not, what could we make better? What do you love? What do you not like so much? And just developing it as we go through 2021 and beyond. So that's, I'm very excited about that bit.
Yeah. Have you written yourself a position description?
I have put a draft in.
Yeah, I thought you might have.
I have. I definitely have a draft. It's evolved like since I, and it's only been, a few months ago that we really, I sat down and really had a big think about what the organisation needs and what it should look like moving forward, and writing roles, you know, to fit that moving forward. And as always, mine is the last to do, because it's almost like, well, where are the missing pieces? And I guess I'll take those. Mm. But having a bit more
Who do I need to be? Who does the business need me to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess, to be honest, at this point, I'm a bit the clinical director and the managing director role. I've sort of, you know, in the future differentiated them. But at the moment, it's kind of I'm both of those at the moment. But it's really exciting to have a think about, particularly that sort of managing director role, what that looks like, and those sort of more long-term visionary goals and things that it means.
Did you have a fair bit of learning fall out of the exercise of setting up your organisational chart?
Yes. So, and I think that was something that really surprised me, and like, just I guess seeing it and putting it there and going, well, hang on a minute, what's going to fit where?
Who does what in this business?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, we've been floating along and look, things not just floating along, we've been doing really well. I can't, you know, it's been a credit to everyone that's involved. But seeing it there and then going, oh, how could that work? And it's almost that it was just an incredible exercise that I hadn't sort of really given much thought to, but to look, and then I guess to see where I want it to go. So, okay, this is what it is right now, but this is where I want it to go. And very quickly, you know, within a couple of months, it was like, oh, it's changed again. We've got so many.
There goes the 12-month plan in 6 weeks.
Throw that out the door. There's very lucky. We've got lots of species. And so thinking, oh, okay, now that's changed again. What does it need to look like? What is it looking like now? But now it looks a little bit more like what I want it to go to and how it could look. And then thinking about, well, what do those roles entail and what does that need? It's that I think has been one of the most meaningful things to do particularly over the last sort of few months, is to really look at that. And I did not think that it would be such a useful activity to look at it in that way. And I think just visually seeing it, and actually it was really helpful, I think, for a lot of the team. And that was a big thing, to see what it looks like, and to go, and this is where you can go realistically. That's been something I think really exciting.
Yeah. It's nearly always a sneaky little business development activity that everyone forgets to do. But when you see your organizational chart, you can see the lines of communication, the roles at each level, and the responsibilities at each level. And it really helps you identify the key performance indicators as well. And we both know that the KPIs are more than billable hours. Heaven help us if that's the only KPI you've got. But you can sort of map upwards and outwards about who does what, where, when, and why, and get a really good overall sense of what the business looks like now, but also forward mapping as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's also been really useful to go, what do I need to let go of? A big thing for me. What do I need to go, no, that's this person's role. That's for them. Let them do it. Let them step up and do that, and let's see where it goes. Because most often they do a much better job than myself. That's been, I think, a really lovely thing as well, to go, all right, that person, I can see it. That job goes to them. Just we'll put that across.
Allocate, delegate, and kind of manage from there.
That's right. Mm. You can't do it all. And that's something I think I'm continually learning to myself. I'm a bit of a yes person. I'll always say yes. One of my speeches has made me a sign, just say no. People ask me, hold it up, go no.
There's a buzzer you can get that you press on it and just says, nope.
That's what I did. They talked about that.
Have you got one already?
No, I don't. But that was the next step. If I wasn't using the sign, she was going to get me the no sign, the buzzer. That's it. Good. But that I was surprised.
Yeah. I want to touch on recruitment briefly. Am I right in thinking that you had people asking to work with you?
Yes. I actually all five. Well, one was our AHA that's now graduated and moving to a speech pathologist who will be just fantastic. She's been very impressive, so very excited about her. Yeah, but the other four have approached us through word of mouth, which is very, very exciting. Very, I mean,
why do you think that happened? That's no accident.
Do you know, when I think about it, something I was reflecting on chatting with one of my other colleagues, I think that's been something that I have worked towards since the day one, to be honest. I think that is something that maybe not consciously, but it's always been, I guess, my goal that Look Who's Talking is just a great place to work. Yeah. That it is, that people want to come. It is a positive, wonderful place to work, and that the team just want to be there. And I think everything that I have done has always been about that, because I think that has been my number one goal. If I love to come to work, I feel, and if the team love to come to work, I feel like my job is done almost. I know that they're passionate clinicians and employees, and I know they will do a good job if they are feeling that they want to be there. And I think that's been it. So that's always been the goal. And it's always been something where I've gone, you know, I think I spoke to you earlier in the year, Kathy, to go, if people go, wow, you've got a job at Look Who's Talking, you're so lucky, that's such a great place to work, I've heard great things about working there, then I just feel like I've achieved something that I was really, really proud of. And you know, I want to be the Google of Allied Health. Like, that's, you know, we've talked about a slide, moving in next door and having a slide. But that's it. It's just, I think I've always been working towards that. Not consciously, but I think because that's always been my driving force. I mean, I could have just worked for myself. I don't want to work for myself. I want to work with a team of amazing people. And I think that's why. And it has been from just word of mouth. People have been recommended. And I've relied on that all throughout the year. It's just that it's come together so much at the end of this year.
So quickly
that's come as quite a surprise. And oh my goodness. And that's it. We've had, you know, AHAs, you know, like, we're just going, can I get back to you in the new year? We're swamped at the moment. So, which is,
swamped with people wanting to work in your business.
Very, very, very fortunate and very, very lucky about that, and very, you know, grateful. Grateful to the team I currently have for speaking so highly of us, and just grateful.
Well, you're setting the scene there. So, good to kind of dig into what it is you're doing that is creating this experience for employees to be there with you. You know, quite the destination employer. So, well done.
Yeah, thank you. I think, and that it's. I think it just comes back to that core team values and just living by that. And just that at the core of what I think a business should be at this point in time, when recruitment is so difficult. And, you know, we're all passionate. You know, you don't go into speech pathology or occupational therapy or something like that if you're not passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to do it. So it's about creating, just a great place to be.
So exciting. Now, with this influx of team, this sort of multiplication of peeps in the business, you've done a ton of HR work day and night. You've reset, recontracted, redesigned, reorganized, reinvented every possible combination. But now you're good to go. You've got everything sorted. What was that process like for you?
Look, I think it was real. It was challenging, certainly, not, you know, not having any idea really of even what HR is. I know a bit about it, obviously, because you've sort of, you know, with different places that you work and things, but I think it was really good because it could set up what I wanted Look Who's Talking to be. So it was actually a really great process because it was involved all the, you know, writing all those position descriptions, looking at the organisational chart, how are we going to contract, what incentives are we going to offer people, what can we afford to offer people, what will, and I guess it wasn't just about, you know, okay, we're moving people to different contracts or, you know, full-time employee rather than...
It's not a transaction.
It's not.
So much more than a transaction.
Yeah. It was much more around, well, what is it holistically that we're going to offer as an employer? So that, I think, was really exciting. I mean, obviously, and having something in the background to set us up, if you know what I mean, like to have that gives you so much more confidence, I think, in what you're currently running. And so great that, you know, someone will ask you a question, I'm like, I'm going to get back to you about that. I'm going to contact our HR provider and who are wonderful and just get back to you on that. So that's a great question. Thank you for that. I hadn't thought of it. So to have some and to be able to outsource that and know that it's reliable information and that we're going to set it up. And it will be set up for the future. It's not something that I have to constantly keep. I mean, it is something that you sort of...
Hoping. Just don't want to be running on hope that you're correct. Yeah.
It'll come together and it will be fine. No, we need, you know, to set that up and that it is, you know, we're ticking all the legislative requirements and things like that we need. So having that has just given me so much more confidence in being able to talk about it and share with the team and to go, this is actually really great. These are all the extra things that we can now do that we've changed our business model so much. I actually think it will enhance our team so much more than what it was before. Mm-hmm. When I think about it, how we were contracted before as sort of subcontractor type arrangement, it amazes me that we have such a close-knit team when I think about it, in the fact that, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing and coming in and out, but we didn't sort of have that culture at Look Who's Talking. I think it's only going to get better as we move into next year into a different business model. It will facilitate that even more, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you guys get done in your team conference the other week?
It was so great. It was just a day to go, wow, look at this. I think we're an actual business and we're actually
so grown up.
Yeah, it was. It was when we walked into the conference venue and it was all set up with pens and everything. We're like, oh, this is real. This is serious. And I think that sort of, you know, just was like, no, why not? I keep asking myself, people go, why? Why did you do this? Well, why not? Why not do it? You know, it's... why not? We did.
It's such an interesting step up from popping out for lunch together or having an afternoon. Pardon me. It's kind of really committing, I guess, to the professionalism and the business approach that you're taking, that you are in the room learning, challenging.
Yes, yeah.
Is that how it played out?
It did. I think it really did. I was so, honestly, most of the day I sort of sat there trying not to cry because I was so proud of everyone to see them and to see them in that situation, I guess, to present on something that they're really interested in, that they've researched, that they've put together. It was so lovely to see them in almost a different role than what I see them day to day as the clinician, to see them move into, well, here I am as a professional providing information and this is something I'm really passionate about, and to see everyone in the team get the opportunity to do that was just so wonderful. I was sitting there going, ooh, like, this is so nice, everyone's doing so well. But it was just it was really informative, it was really interesting, like just so interesting to share all that knowledge. And I think in the morning I did a bit more of a team culture workshop and you know, our team values and what we want moving forward. And very importantly, all our team building days next year had to be organised. That's very important. So that was just a really nice activity. And I think for me was a moment where I was like, oh, I am the business owner now. I am the leader here. This is me taking and stepping outside my comfort zone and really owning, well, this is it. And I, this is me being the leader, being the managing director now, not just your, the colleague or the clinical director.
Yeah.
Or this is more visionary stuff, which was really great. And our next speaker, she had done a client satisfaction survey. So that was just beautiful to get that feedback. She'd done such a great job. And then everyone presenting on some PD that they had done through the year. And we had a guest speaker, which was wonderful. So it was just a great day. And the admin team came as well, because they're just as much a part of our team as our clinicians. And I was going, oh, guys, I hope you're not too bored throughout this. And actually their feedback was it's so interesting. It's just so interesting listening to it. And it helps us think a little bit more in our role when we're asking the questions in an intake or that sort of thing. And just even to understand what it is that you do a little bit more and how much is involved. You know, that was really, because I said to them, I was like, look, feel free at about after lunch if you need to go and have a swim or something, if it's getting a bit heavy. But to their credit, they didn't. It was really great. The music therapist did a great one on emotional regulation, which was just fascinating. And yeah, it was so great to watch the admin team involved and ask
soak it up. Well.
Yeah, it was just wonderful. So, and it was a fun night as well.
So let's hallucinate for a moment. What in your wildest dreams will the team conference look like next December?
We've been talking about it. Actually,
I thought you might have.
Oh, we do. As soon as
we're going to need a whole resort to fill the team for the team to fill in.
Perhaps. No, we were definitely talking about it. We were saying we're going to need more time next year. We're going to need more time. I'm like, yeah, we might need more time next year. So it could be a couple of a couple of days, and hopefully with, you know, obviously our current health crisis, if hopefully that's winding down, maybe not. But to go, I mean, we only, you know, we stayed safe and just went to a place in Brisbane. But it would be nice to go somewhere and really just, you know, really make it a retreat conference, couple of days, spend a bit of time together, be able to hang by the pool for a bit, and also just, you know, really come together and share some knowledge and work together. That's, I guess, for next year, what I would really like is definitely a destination and at least a couple of nights.
And more chairs around the table, more pens and notepads, a few extra bowls of mints. You know, I'm thinking the team is going to be going from strength to strength. What about you?
Definitely. At the moment I'm in a bit that short-term thinking of like how do we get through the next few months on board everyone and so that everything's off and running. But you're right. It's definitely, there'll be a lot more. I mean, it'll be double what it is currently now, and who knows what it will look like in 12 months' time. You just don't know with, you know, thinking, you know, extra locations and things like this. So it's very exciting. So it would be... Yes, just how many extra pens will be around the table and how many more bags along we going to have to buy.
Yeah. Very exciting
to see.
Yeah. What else are you, I'll use the word hope, what else are you anticipating in 2021? What do you reckon is going to come your way business-wise?
Ooh, that's a good question. Look, I think, you know, we've got plans of setting up a second location. I think where we currently are, we're currently doing another extension in January, so for another three clinical rooms and a bigger reception area. And our team retreat. So that's one of my big exciting things next year, probably the learning program for next year and our team retreat, getting that set up is, you know, at some stage next year. Stage two of our redevelopment. That's very exciting. I'm very excited for the team retreat in the clinic. But yes, possibly setting things up to possibly have a second location. I think we've pretty much where we are now is as big as we'll get there. I think if we expand any further, we'll have a second location somewhere.
And what do you think your typical week will look like?
That's a good question.
I want to know.
She knows where I'm going. you're setting me up, Kathy.
So much so.
So yes. Well, look, I will have to slim down my clinical days, absolutely. Mm. So what ideally I would like two clinical days max, and then the rest, so the other 3 days, is team facing, so that I'm there to be able to, we've set it up with a new setup that I will be in an office with the practice manager, so hoping to work really closely with her, but also to be able to go in and go, I'm going to sit in on this session, or let's just, you know, okay, you need a bit of extra time this week, let's set that up. And to be able to have time to think about what it is, like to plan a bit more, to be able to sort of have those visions. I have lots of ideas and lots of, but to actually have the time to think them through and to put them together, I think, is the big thing that I want for next year. So I almost want like a day that I can shut myself off just to sort of plan and think about what it is and where the future of allied health is going and what it is, where do we want to be in the future? I'm not talking 12 months. Am I thinking more long-term? What is it that I need to know? I want to be, you know, I want to move from being a reactive leader to a proactive leader. That's a big personal goal for me next year. But it's having the time, and I've got to make that time to be able to sit there and go, what is it? Where do we need to go?
Yeah.
What don't I know?
That little magic nugget. Yeah. So the practice manager coming in is going to be really crucial to this role. What are their core duties going to be that's going to make this difference for you?
Good question. So I've put together her position description because it's actually been something we've been building on the side throughout this year with my mum sort of building the role, and we're at that point that it can be a full-time role now. So I guess a lot of it will be around just the day-to-day running of the clinic. So me not having to worry about even just scheduling the administration, like the reception, you know, things like that, like a really big thing. Marketing, social media, just being organized in, okay, so what's going to happen? We need to run that. You know, the NDIS audit, being a big part of that. What do we need to do? Processes and procedures within the clinic, setting them up so they're really, we've got a lot, but they could certainly work better. So having a think about, and what's the client's experience? You know, I think for a practice manager going, well, how do we make these processes and procedures better for the client experience and the clinician's experience and administration's experience? How do we streamline this?
And your experience.
Yeah, and my experience. So I think, and just, you know, being able to sort of move those things aside. And think just everyday things like booking our team building activities that I don't have to spend half a day calling people or all that sort of thing. You know, those, I guess that day-to-day stuff of
putting the glue,
the things that you think are, that you don't even think about, you know, when you're working, because I worked in the private practice before I took it over. Things that you just don't realise have to be done, I guess. Things that
the elves did.
Yes, yeah, just those everyday things that you think, oh, that'll take me 5 minutes, and lo and behold, it's been 4 hours later and you still haven't done it. You go, how is this, you know, paying the bills, paying, you know, trying to get a better deal on, you know, trying to get the NBN in. That's a current.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
This is a G-rated show. We can't talk about Telstra.
I won't start. Like it's, you know, things like that that just you don't realise just take a lot of your time, and that, you know, things that I don't want to be sitting there at 1 o'clock in the morning doing anymore. putting together a brochure for our groups in January that I was doing at 11 o'clock last night.
We won't tell anyone.
No.
We won't tell anyone. Won't share that bit.
That won't be my dream. That won't be next year, he says optimistically.
No, it will. It'll just take a bit of time. Yeah. I tend to hear that with this practice manager role, business owners are a little unsure about how much or how little or where the PM role begins and ends. And then they kind of get the position description done and they advertise and they can get inundated, 20 or 30 applications in a day or two.
Yeah.
What was your selection criteria for bringing this new practice manager in?
Great question. Look, I think, so what it came about with, it actually happened to be someone that had spent a bit of time with us just on a casual basis administration. She had, given this year, she had been made redundant from her role, and we were looking for a bit of extra admin, so it worked quite nicely for us in that period of time. And I think that was the point, having her in and just the proactiveness, almost predicted what was going to happen. Mm. And I think that's a big thing, to have someone who can take what they have and run with it and be okay, I guess, to run with it and to go, nope, I've got this. I can set this up. I'll do, you don't need to think about that. Yeah. I will do this. And I think I need a little bit of that. Sometimes I struggle to know what it is that I need or want. And she just, even the clinician, she was like, she just seems to know what's going to happen. I'm like, I know. She just sort of predicts what's going to happen. So that, I think, that was, I guess, a bit of a big game changer for us. And so we managed to get her back, which was very exciting. She was pretty keen to come back and missed us once she had left. And it was very exciting to get her back on board in the role of practice manager. But I think, again, it comes back down to, do they fit the team culture? Are they a great team member? Yeah. What do they bring to our team? But, do they fit nicely with our team? And we knew that she did already. But again, that's always at the core of that's my first priority, I guess. But moving beyond that, it's someone who can really take what they have and run with it. I mean, when she was there, she wrote the reception handbook just in a spare time.
We like that.
Certainly something. And to be someone that I guess is very personable, because they will be working a lot. We do a lot with adults in disability, so there's a lot of support coordinator discussions that perhaps we don't see so much with our pediatric clients. That takes a lot of time as well, because they're often complex and this is personal.
And a skilled hand.
Yeah, to be able to, because it is so much building those relationships. That's a really important part. And, we'll have people that come to us, our support coordinator has recommended you or that sort of thing that, they tend to, because you've been easy to work with. You've done what you've said you were going to do. We called them back when we said we were going to call them back. We've established that relationship. And we know what we're talking about. That's, I think, a really important role as the practice manager, creating and supporting those networks and referral basis as a practice manager, in which I know she's very personal, will do a wonderful job of that. So exciting.
So on the back of a massive monster year, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? Oh, I might get a bit emotional. I think...
That's all right.
Yeah, I think, I'm most proud that we supported each other and we got through this year personally and professionally, and personally first and foremost. I remember, having to make that call, as, we all did, make that call to go, right, no, that's it, we need to close up, and just being... just that we got through that together, and they were a wonderful support to me, as just as much as I hope that I was a support personally to them. And I know we've all had lots of personal things going on, but to get through that big transition and then to go through what is a huge transition with our new business model this year, and to keep the team and for the team to be excited about next year and to have grown the team so much, I think is I think what I'm most proud of, that we're still here together and that it's just a great place to go. Like, I look forward to going to work. I can't wait to see everyone that I work with, that we just have that. And we do, and it's really lovely. We'll, you know, we'll send each other really lovely messages or something, and it's just a great, wonderful, supportive place that is just so lovely to be involved with, and I feel really grateful that I get to be a part of it. That, and I think that's, considering I'm just so proud that the team have trusted me enough and believed in what we've got happening and Look Who's Talking enough to stay with it and to grow with it, and to watch everyone's transition this year has just been wonderful. So that, I think, is what I'm most proud of, that we're here at the end of it and we're all the better for it.
Yeah. Well, at the risk of us both dissolving, I think I can just shout out a massive congratulations to you and the crew, and ton of business love for all that you've achieved. And thank you so much for sharing your adventure to date.
No, thank you so much for having me and you know, letting us share our journey this year, and hopefully it inspires a few others that it's, you know, we got through it.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.